Amen. Thank you, Ms. Cavaniss. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I shall ask that you begin to read with me in verse number 14. Matthew 25, verse number 14, and we'll read through verse number 30. If you have found your place in Matthew 25, stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God as we begin to read. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered them unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of these servants cometh and reckoned with them." Every Christian ought to circle verse 19. "And after a long time, the Lord of these servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.' And his Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.' And he also that had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 2 talents, and behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them.' And his Lord said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord.' Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strowed. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talents in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine.' Here's your 1 talent back," he said. "And his Lord answered and said unto him, 'Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strown. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye that unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now I want you to go back and look at verse 21, 23, and 24. In verse 21, our Lord has reckoned with the one that had been given 5 talents. He had used it, and he had taken that 5 talents and turned them into 10 talents now. And the Lord said unto him, "Well done, notice, thou good and faithful servant." Notice that statement. "Thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things." Then he goes to the one with the 2 talents, and he reckons with him, and he finds out that young a servant had taken the 2 talents and used them, and now he has 4 talents. And again, in verse 23, the Lord said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things." And then here's the one, the servant with the 1 talent. And instead of using it, he had hid it. Now, he hadn't lost it, but neither had he used it. He just kept it. You know, kind of like some Baptists today that's not using what God's entrusted to them. They have talents to sing, but they won't sing. They have the ability to teach, but they won't teach. They could be a witness, but they're not a witness. They could give their tithes and offerings, but they don't. They just keep it. Do nothing with it. Notice what the Lord said. He said, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." Now, what had he done to be called a wicked and slothful, lazy, unfaithful servant? He had done nothing. He had just taken what God had given him, hid it, and done nothing with it. And God said, "You're unfaithful, and besides that, you're wicked and lazy." What are you doing with what God's given you? Have a singing voice, but you won't sing? You have ability to work with children, but you won't serve? You've got a CDL license, but you won't drive? And by the way, like all the slothful and unfaithful servants of today, they've always got an excuse. I can go to people that don't tithe and they don't serve. They ignore the rules of ministry and they do everything like they want to do it. And you face them with it, confront them with it, and they've always got an excuse to excuse themselves. God didn't accept his excuse. He took it from him, and he didn't bless him. He was cast outside of the realm of blessing and fellowship with God's people. I personally think verse number 30 has nothing to do with hell. It has to do with his position during the millennial reign of Christ, where he is not with the faithful. He is not with the blessed. He, for 1,000 years, he lives in that millennial kingdom outside of the blessings of God and the fellowship with the faithful. He's still a servant. It's going to take the omnipotent hand of God to wipe the tears from his eyes and fit him for the eternity after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now tonight, I want to speak to you on this subject. Faithful, dependable, trustworthy, and reliable with a good spirit. Being faithful, and by the way, dependable, trustworthy, reliable are all synonyms for faithfulness. And the one thing that every one of us has, that as we try to be faithful, reliable, dependable, trustworthy, we ought to have a good spirit to go with it. Because God has no place for a servant with a bad spirit. I'm going to talk to you about some this thing of character tonight, and especially the character trait of faithfulness. Being dependable, trustworthy, reliable, and doing it with a good spirit. Father, help me tonight as I bring this message. Lord, I realize that this isn't just a sermon or a speech. This is preaching time, and it's your word. And Lord, what we preach must be truth, and it must come from the inspired Word of God. The basis for every message is not some magazine or book or book report or feelings. It ought to be and must be the Word of God if it's going to have your stamp of approval and blessing and power upon it. Now, Lord, I want that more than I want anything. And I ask your help as I preach this, your message. I'm preaching about a subject that is characteristic of you, Lord. And every one of us who know you ought to have a desire to be like you. Now, Lord, fill me and use me and help me to be a blessing to my dear people, your people, as we seek to learn and grow to become all that you would have us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. One of the most important attributes for a Christian's life is good character. Now, I'm sad to say that there is less and less good character displayed among young people and adults in this generation. Dr. Lee Robinson, the founder and president of Tennessee Temple University for many years before he went home to be with the Lord, said, "Every freshman class seems to have less character than the one before it." That's an indictment against Christian parents, against schools, and that's an indictment against independent Baptist churches of today. In a general sense, there seems to be more good character displayed by people coming from certain parts of Africa, India, and Asia. I'm talking about people that have not been Americanized yet. There seems to be more good character coming from these people, from these countries, than is seen in many of our American young men and women. I want to focus my message tonight on some of the character traits that ought to be a part of every one of our lives as Christians. Makes no difference where we came from. We ought to be characterized as a Christian by being faithful, dependable, trustworthy, and reliable. And we ought to have a good spirit to go with it. And may I say to you that there is a day when our Master, who has assigned to us our responsibility while He's gone, is going to come back. And is going to call us into accountability. There is a day of reckoning with Him. Those character traits that I want to major on are the character traits of being faithful, dependable, trustworthy, and reliable. And do it all with the right spirit, a good spirit. Now right away, some of you are saying in your mind, well, it's just another way He's going to preach on church attendance and faithfulness. But that's just one aspect of these character traits. See, the word faithful means to be dependable, to be trustworthy, to be reliable. And I say again, it ought to always be accompanied by a right spirit in us as we go about our faithfulness, our dependability, our trustworthiness, and being reliable. Understand that mankind by our sinful nature is none of these. Faithfulness, dependability, trustworthy, reliability, and a right spirit are learned by each and every individual. And in order for it to be learned, it must be taught. It's not genetic. You don't get wisdom by genetics, nor do you get faithfulness by genetics. You don't grow up and be trustworthy and dependable and reliable because of genetic properties that are passed on to you. these character traits are developed. They're learned in our life just as honesty has to be learned. Diligence, finishing what we start, must be learned. There's a character traits. Like all of the elements of good character, these must be taught first at home. They must be reinforced in our school system. And they must be taught at church. We must be trained and held accountable from our childhood, or we'll not be equipped for life as an adult. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Training time is in the childhood of our children, the youth of our children. We have a short window before the heart-hardening process begins to take place. Somewhere around adolescence, somewhere around their teenage years, that heart-hardening process begins to take place. And if we have not done our job in the first 12 years of their life, you better buckle up, because you're in for World War III and the rest of it. We can blame all we want to on our teenagers and how they behave themselves, but the truth is, it is a reflection of their training from birth up until their teenage years. I realize there's extenuating circumstances, but the general rule from our Lord is to train them up in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they'll not depart from it. Proverbs 20:11 says, even a child is known by their doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Now, what that verse is saying is that a child is known by their actions. If they're unfaithful and undependable and untrustworthy, not reliable, then they are known because they have proven that they're unfaithful. They're proven that they're unreliable, that they're not dependable, they're not trustworthy. They haven't been trained. They haven't been taught. I might say that there's an East Texas proverb that says a child's parents are known by the doing of the child. Somewhere and sometime, if our children are going to amount to anything good and right in this life, they must be trained in good character. We cannot cut corners to save our pride as parents. Yes, we see their flaws, we see their problems, and we cover it up instead of dealing with it while there's a child, because we don't want to be humiliated. We don't want to be made to look bad. The chickens will come home to roost. Be sure our sins will find us out. Somewhere and sometime, if our children are going to amount to anything good and right, they must be trained in good character. And some adults that are listening to my voice tonight are struggling in their life now, because they've missed the character training from their life. They didn't get it. And they're ill-equipped, unprepared to face life. Our children must be trained to be faithful, dependable, trustworthy, and reliable. And they must be taught to have a right spirit. And if we don't do that, we failed. We as parents can point to our children and say, I don't understand what happened to them. It might be good if we'd go look in a mirror, because we may be what happened to them. We cut corners. We tried to save face instead of deal with their sin. And the result is, it didn't hurt us, it hurt them. Without this training, our children will miss out on their promotions that ought to come to them in their life. You see, 85% of being successful in life is just being where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, and having a right spirit. You cannot do what you're supposed to do unless you're where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. You listen to me. When it comes to me promoting someone or hiring someone, I will always hire or promote the faithful, the dependable, the trustworthy, the reliable, who has a right spirit, over others who have more talent but are not faithful, are not dependable. They're not trustworthy. They're not reliable. Their spirit's not right. Unfaithfulness should never be promoted or rewarded. And without these elements of good character, you will miss out on the blessings of God in your life and for your family. You see, it's going to come a time when it's not going to just hurt you, but it's going to hurt a wife or a husband and little children that come to them, come in their marriage. Families suffer because father and mother's lack of character. You learn this, you're not different. God will not compromise His word to bless anyone who's unfaithful, or undependable, or untrustworthy, or unreliable. He'll not bless anyone who does not have a right spirit. Let me say, first of all, in our message tonight, one of the great characteristics of God is His faithfulness. Every child of God should want to be like their Heavenly Father. I cannot be holy, holy, holy like He is holy. But I can be faithful. And by the way, I can strive to be holy. I can never attain His perfection except in Christ. But I can do right. I can live right. And I can be faithful like my Heavenly Father. He is faithful. He is dependable. He is trustworthy. He is reliable. And it is His Spirit every one of us should yield our life to and allow control over our life. Look with me at some of the verses that tells us that God is faithful. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." The Lord is faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, "Faithful is He that calleth you." Talking about God. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able." Look at 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." It's 12 times in the scripture, the Bible plainly tells us that our Lord God is faithful. And our desire ought to be like Jesus. Faithful. Faithful. The characteristic that ought to characterize all of us first in His likeness is that of faithfulness. But not only is it a characteristic of Christ, secondly, I want you to know God expects His children to be faithful, dependable, trustworthy, and reliable. And I've got to ask you, are you? Are you? In the scripture, God tells us that he requires his stewards to be found faithful. A steward is a Christian who has been entrusted with a job or ministry. They're his Christian servants. And above all else, we are to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. God said it's required. God expects his children to be faithful. And by the way, God tells us in his word that only those who are faithful are to be entrusted with the privilege and responsibility of teaching others. Not talented, not intelligent, not those that hold degrees, but those that are faithful in the ways of God and the things of God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, that who shall be able to teach others also. Now in our churches today, they've changed that. They're entrusting the teaching responsibilities to talented men. That's not what God said. They're trusting the teaching responsibility to popular men. It's not what God said. They're teaching the leadership and responsibility of teaching. They're giving that to wealthy men, prosperous men, successful men. But none of that meets the requirement of God. He said to faithful men. You see, the most an unfaithful teacher can teach is unfaithfulness. We teach a little by what we say. We teach more by what we do. We teach most by what we are. And if we are unfaithful, the number one lesson our students will learn from our life is that of unfaithfulness. Y'all are really liking this, aren't you? Then the Bible tells us, now I'm saying the point is God expects his children to be faithful and dependable and trustworthy and reliable. We've talked about stewards. We've talked about teachers. Now pastors and ministers of the church are to be faithful. Titus 1:7 says, "For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God." You say that doesn't say faithful. What does he require of stewards? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Well, I can't talk about the pastor and staff without talking about the deacons and the deacons' wives. God requires them to be faithful also. 1 Timothy 3:10 and 11. And let these also first be proved. Proved to be what? Faithful. Faithful to God, faithful to their wife, faithful to the Bible, faithful to the things of God. Proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. And then it says, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers. They must be sober. Faithful. In all things. Now let me ask you a question tonight. If you could take a look at God's record book on your life, would your record declare that you've been and you are faithful, dependable, trustworthy, reliable, and with all of this, a good spirit? See, these servants of God here were called into reckoning. God put it down in his book. And may I say, he's writing in his book about our lives also. I wonder what he's saying by my name. Selfish, lazy, slothful, undependable, I hope that's not there. With all my heart and soul, I want it to read, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But listen to me, folks. We can't wish that into reality. It requires performance, not wishing. Then let me say in the third place, God expects His children to be faithful in that which is least. Not just the big things, but in that which is least. Isn't it amazing how we think that we can skip all the little things of our life and let those slide and go if we're just faithful in the big things? But God says, I'm looking at the little things, because if you're not faithful in the little things, I can't trust you with the big things. Now, let me read it to you. Luke chapter 16, verse 10, 11, and 12. Jesus said, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, he said, if you've not been dependable, trustworthy, reliable in dealing with a little bit of money, if you haven't been faithful, reliable, dependable in dealing with your credit cards, with your tithe and offering, therefore, you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust, the true riches. And if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" Now, there's three thoughts there that he gives to us. Number one, if we prove to be faithful in the small things, then we can be trusted to be faithful in greater things. Hey, teenagers, if you can't be trusted to clean your own room, why should you expect God to trust you with a family? If you can't handle your little allowance, you can't remember to use it properly and give God His tithe and offering, if you can't be trusted to use it for those things which are right, then why should God ever give you anything beyond that and trust you with anything else? Don't you understand, young people, you're in a proving time, a proving place? When I was in high school, we played football, and most of your football days are spent in practice, not on the playing field in the game. And if you were lazy and slothful and unattentive, unfaithful in practice, you had a little chance of getting in a game. That's where you proved yourself, in the practice. If you was ever going to put the helmet on and the letter jersey on and the pads on and get out on the field in the lights and be trusted to play a part of a team sport, you're going to have to prove yourself in the practice when it really wasn't all that important. There wasn't anything on the line. You wasn't in a championship game. God's not going to trust you with the championship games of life, young people, if you're not faithful, trustworthy, dependable, reliable while you're in the training process at home, where you just want to be adults, but you haven't quite gotten there yet. That's what he's talking about here. If we prove to be faithful in the small things, then God says we've proven that we can be trusted to be faithful in the greater things. And if we're not faithful in money matters, God will not trust us or bless us with true riches. Verse 11. And if we're not faithful in dealing with those things that belong to someone else, then how can we ever expect to be blessed and trusted by God with things of our own? You know, sometimes it's not poverty that is the ruination of people. It's a little bit of prosperity that destroys them. Money is a wonderful tool. It's a terrible master. When we live our life to be faithful, dependable, trustworthy, and reliable in our relationship to God and our serving Him, then money can be a blessing because it's never going to have the preeminent place in our life. When we live for money, we make it the big thing. God says, I'm not going to trust you with that which really does matter, the true riches. Let me finish this tonight. When God speaks to reveal His divine instructions, He always speaks to those who are faithful, dependable, trustworthy, and reliable. He never speaks to the lazy, to the untrustworthy, to the slothful. When God spoke His will through Paul, He addressed them not just for everybody in Ephesus, but to the faithful in Ephesus. When God revealed His will to the people of Colossae, listen to what He says to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. He gives His truth to them, not to the unfaithful. I've got to ask this. Have you heard from God lately? Has His Holy Spirit given any direction to your life lately? When God has instructions to give, He gives it to the faithful, the reliable, the dependable, the trustworthy. Are you faithful? Are you dependable? Are you trustworthy, reliable? Do you have a good spirit? Every one of us who claim to be saved ought to desire and strive with all our hearts to be like Jesus in this area. He and He alone is the pattern. Not a good deacon, not a preacher, not a good staff member, but Jesus Christ alone is our pattern. He is our pattern. How much like Him are you tonight? Father, that's our message. Lord, I talked about our life on the living level of life. I talked about our life where the rubber meets the road. I'm talking about our life where every day it's put to the test. God, help us to learn and grow to be that Christian of good character who is faithful, dependable, trustworthy, reliable, and a good spirit to back it all up. Lord, there's some people here tonight that does not have that attached to their name. They weren't taught and trained as a child at home. They've gotten saved later in life, and let them realize that these character traits, these Bible principles can be learned. They can be had today, but we must yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God and apply Bible truth and learn to practice biblical principle instead of our want-tos and our ideas and our feelings. We cannot, as Christians, learn to be faithful, trustworthy, reliable, and dependable As long as we rely on the flesh, we must die to this flesh and yield ourselves to your Holy Spirit. Speak to our heart tonight and help us as your children to desire with all our hearts this wonderful character trait of faithfulness. Oh, to be like Jesus ought to be our prayer. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. I thank God for these who have already come to an old-fashioned altar. But maybe God spoke to your heart tonight. Maybe you're one of those Christians that need this in your life. Now, if you listen to the flesh is going to say, don't you go up there, it's going to embarrass you. What would somebody think? Don't you listen to the devil, because the devil's going to say, hey, you're all right like you are, and if you believe that, you've got a pride problem, not a faithfulness problem. We need to be honest and hear the sweet Holy Spirit of God as He speaks to our heart. And we ought to find our place on our knees tonight and say, oh God, more than breath to breathe, more than food to eat, I need you, and I want to be like you. Help me to learn to be faithful. Help me to learn to be dependable and trustworthy. Help me to become that man, that woman, that teenager that's reliable, the one with a good spirit. Help me. You say, where does it begin? It begins with that first time getting on your knees and saying, oh God, I want that. You say, but I might blow it. Yeah, you are. You'll blow it. But then you get back on your knees again and say, oh God, I tried and I failed, but I want to do it. When do you start being faithful? Next Sunday. Next Wednesday night. 1 week at a time, one service at a time. It's what Mrs. Smith and I did over 44 years ago, and good night. The next thing you wake up, and it's 44 years have passed plus. Let's stand to our feet, and we'll begin to sing. Many have already come and gone back. Maybe you'd come and use these altars tonight. Would you do so right now? Would you do so right now?